Hey, talking about carpet. Talking about carpet. Does anybody want to buy a few square yards of carpet cheap? Dear God, when I stepped out of bed the other morning and the carpet was waving, the only thing I could think to do was call a pastor. I know he was happy. What do I do now? And he told me, sweep it out. But it's a great day to be alive. If you are alive, let me wiggle them a little bit. Can't tell from your faces. Amen. Oh, it is a great day to be alive. In spite of the rain, in spite of everything, it's a great day to be alive. And I'm grateful tonight that I am alive. Are you? Amen. Say, thank God I'm alive. Say it again. You know, I better not say that. But anyway, God is good. We had a great service this morning. That was a tremendous message and a tremendous communion service. I love communion services. Amen. I'll tell you why. I've always loved them, because when I have a communion service, I always get my books up to date. He said, if you drink this unworthily, amen, you forgive everybody, think of all the times you've been mean, ask God to forgive you. Do you do that? Let me see your hands. Hey, let me read you something here. You know, I was listening to Dr. Lakin, one of the great preachers. He's gone now, but one of the great preachers of our time. He was a Baptist preacher, but buddy, he was a preacher. I mean, he could preach you under conviction. And I remember some of the things he said, and he told us that one day he was accosted by what he called a young squirt that said to him, do you believe that the Bible contains the Word of God? He said, son, I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. But he said, sir, he said, the Bible is so full of contradiction. And Dr. Lakin said, well, show me some. He said, well, the Bible is so unscientific. And Dr. Lakin said, hey, man, you are only quoting what you have heard. After he questioned the boy for a while, he said, God help you to use your head, a woodpecker does. And he said, all you're doing is, he said, you're a Paul parrot. I meet people like that. He said, you're only parroting what you hear. He said, if God wanted you to be a parrot, he'd have put feathers on you. Dear God, when I heard that, it reminded me never to argue with Dr. Lakin. He said, but sir, the Bible says, it's so unscientific. And Dr. Lakin said, hey, when the astronauts went into space, he said, they proved one thing. They came back and said, the world is round. What a discovery. I thought Columbus knew that. The world is round. And Dr. Lakin said, son, you read in Isaiah, he knew that long before the astronauts ever determined it. It says in Isaiah that he sitteth above the circle of the earth. Amen. And so the kid said, but sir, he said, the astronomers, they looked out and they saw a space that had no stars in it. And Dr. Lakin said, well, son, he said, in it also says that he stretcheth out the north over the empty space and hangeth the earth on nothing. Dear God, what a God we serve. Amen. And God doesn't have, well, anyway, he didn't call his disciples stupid. He called them blessed. Amen. And blessed are ye. And I thank God for his blessings tonight. And, well, I'll leave that. But anyway, he really told this boy. And the boy said, do you believe that Jonah swallowed, or the whale swallowed Jonah? He said, I don't believe the whale swallowed Jonah. It says a great fish swallowed Jonah. And he said, well, how did Jonah survive and all of those? Are you with me? Let me see your hands. I got to get through this. He said, how did Jonah survive in all of those gastric juices? He said, I don't have any record that he was messing around in gastric juices. He was trying to find out which way he came in so he could get out of there. And he said, God tickled that great fish, and that was the first FOB, Freon Bank, that was ever invented. So God help us tonight. And the kid wouldn't stop there. He said, well, he said, do you believe that he really made the ark? He said, of course. He said, how big was it? And Dr. Lakin told him how big it was. He said, there, thou, I know that can't be so. He said, if that thing is that big, how in the world could the priest have carried it on their shoulders over Jordan? God help us. But he said, now, if they had two and two animals in there, how much room does two elephants take up? And Dr. Lakin said, but man, how many mosquitoes, flies, bugs, cockroaches can live on an elephant? So hang in there. We're going to make it. Amen. Hey, are you glad you're saved? Let me read you something from the 22nd chapter of St. Luke, and if you don't need to read it, don't look for it. Wait till we're through. For I say unto you, in the 18th verse, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood which is shed for you. But behold the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. You know, it's just stopping there for a moment. It is amazing to understand when it really hits home to you that he was not betrayed by that Roman army out there. He was not betrayed by the Greeks or the Romans or the Jews per se, but he was betrayed by one of his own. And friends, tonight, if the church is ever destroyed, it will be destroyed by its own hand. Amen. Nothing can destroy us but ourselves. Nothing will destroy this church. You know, it's amazing to understand that when Hitler gave the order and 6 million Jews were destroyed, he was trying to wipe out and make the so-called pure race. In the name of God, what he did was try to stamp out the only pure race there really was. And isn't it amazing that after the call came through from Hitler himself to stop murdering Jews and torturing them and doing experiments with them, It is amazing when you read history to find out that the machine didn't stop. It went on and killed 2 million more Jews after the call to stop had been issued. It is amazing to note that those men and those women who participated in the slaughter of the innocents of 6 million Jews were high church people. In the Lutheran church and in the Roman Catholic church, they were high church people. Jesus said, "Behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." Amen. God help us tonight to watch that somehow we do not become a part of the thing that will save us and try to destroy it. Do you know what the Bible says about this man? It says it would be better for that man had he never been born. Better for that man had he never been born. And they begin to inquire among themselves which of them that should do this thing. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. That hasn't stopped, by the way. And he said unto them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth service. For whether it is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me." Those are beautiful words. "That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and into death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." I know we can say a lot of things about Peter, and he did a lot of wrong things. But mister, when he really got into a good meeting and got saved all over again and filled with the Spirit, he did a lot of wonderful things. Amen. So don't write Peter off. There are too, well, I won't say that. But anyway, I was going to say there are too many like him. And he said unto them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, "What? Nothing." Then he said unto them, "But now that you are ready to take on and contest the power of the Romans," you know, it's one thing to be just a nominal church member. It is another thing when you really get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and have a desire to preach this word to your neighbors. Things take on a different flavor with them. Amen. You may not be as popular as you would like to be once you really get a hold of God. And now the disciples are ready to go out. And he said, "But now he that hath a purse, let him take it." They may not be kind to you. They may not feed you, so be prepared. And likewise his script, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment. You know, if you want to know, and I'm talking to the church tonight, about every time I preach to you, I'm talking to you, the church. I'm going to tell you tonight how not to be bothered and still go to church. There's a lot of people, well, I won't say that anyway, but if you don't want to be bothered, I'll tell you how to do it. Furl your banners. Do you know what that means? Wrap up your banners. Tie them. Put a string around them. Don't unfurl your banners, because when you unfurl your banners, you're declaring war. Amen? You're getting ready for battle. Furl your banners, sheathe your swords, put down your armor, and beg the trumpeters to be quiet. Then you can go to church and not be bothered. Do you ever wonder how Moses controlled that crowd in the wilderness? Oh, you say, the cloud by day, the pillar by night. But I want to tell you something. That cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night could have become monotonous. And they could have gotten used to it. And after a while, you don't see it. You don't see the cloud by day or the pillar by night. So God Almighty instructed Moses. He said, you get some trumpet players in this outfit. Amen. Hey, you can forget the cloud. You can forget the pillar of fire. But when somebody sounds a trumpet in your ear, you don't forget that. People say, oh, I love to go to church, but I don't like the noise. Don't like the trumpets. When Moses led that crowd, every time they heard the trumpet, there was business to be done. They had a certain sound of the trumpet for the right flank and the left flank. They had a trumpet call for the center. They had a trumpet call for the day of offering. They had a trumpet call for the day of sacrifice. And no matter where you were in the field, no matter where you were on that desert, no matter what you were doing, when the trumpet sound, you stood at attention and listened to see what was taking place. That's why God Almighty has instructed us to beware of the uncertain sound of the trumpet. Amen? Because one day, after all of the trumpet sounds are over, then the angels of heaven will bring forth those silver trumpets, which give forth a certain sound. And the silver trumpets in Moses' time, they were only blown by the high priest. They were only sounded by his sons, the high priest. They were made out of one piece of unbeaten silver. They had a certain sound. Do you know what the sound of the silver trumpet meant? When they heard the sound of the silver trumpets, they could distinguish that from all others. That meant a general assembly. A general assembly. And one day, hallelujah, the silver trumpets of heaven will sound. Oh, hallelujah. And there will be a general assembly when the saints go marching home. God help us tonight to hear the sound of the trumpet. There's a lot of people. They say we want it. We want our religion nice. You can't have it nice. You got noise. Dear God, the day of Pentecost, was that orderly? Huh? Dear God, suddenly, whoa! A sound from heaven! Like a mighty rushing wind! That put the fear of God in you. Do you ever wonder what had happened on Sunday morning if that would happen? It'd blow half of us out of the saddle. There was noise and confusion. Or it seemed like on the day of Pentecost. But out of it came the church. Amen. Out of it came the church. Out of that noise and seemingly confusion. And some of you tonight, if you're not used to a little noise, God help you. Because you've come to the wrong place. You know, if you don't have a sword, he said, buy one. Amen. We are in a warfare tonight. We're in a battle. If you don't have a stomach for battle tonight, get one. You know, the other day I heard a preacher. Are you with me? Let me see your hands. I can't tell from your faces. The other day I listened to a preacher. He was not preaching on God. He was not preaching on salvation. He was not preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't preaching on divine healing. You say, well, what in the name of God was a preacher preaching? He was preaching Amway. Amway. You know what he did? He took Moses and the burning bush and he equated. God help us. He was a preacher. He equated Moses to a man walking on into the Amway scene. Because of the burning bush. He said Moses would have been a diamond, whatever that is. I couldn't believe it. I'm going to tell you something, mister. I have nothing against Amway. But God didn't call me to get rich. God didn't call me to buy Wendy's or the Big Mac. No, he didn't call me. He called me to take up my cross. Amen. Take up my cross. Oh, hallelujah. And follow him. Why? To lay up treasures in heaven. I'm working for something, mister. I'm working my wages. My wages will pay off one day. My work, my wages will come back as the bread cast on the water. It's coming back. Amen. I will get wages for work. But they will receive those that have gone after the world, the flesh, the riches. There is no pay for what perishes. The hay, wood, and stubble will perish. Amen. It'll perish. I thank God, as a young man, I learned that. That I was in the battle for the Lord, but to hang in there because one day, hallelujah, I would receive my wages. Amen. Not in the forms of stocks and bonds, but I would receive my wages when he would place his hand on my head and say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, the church is not a fortress. When I was a kid, I used to hear them singing, "Hold the fort, for I am coming," and I thought, dear God, we're inside of a fort with a lid on it. And we're waiting for the trumpet to sound. And when the trumpet sounds, the lid comes off, and boom, we're going home. That's what I thought. But I found out that I had to buy a sword. Amen. Because I was in a warfare. The Church of Jesus Christ is a marching, conquering army. Hallelujah. I long to see people come to church and buy a sword and get ready to do battle. I remember when I first was saved, how we went to camp meeting. Camp meeting then was a ragged tent. Usually three times during the camp meeting, the wind blew it down. And we would sew it up. You know that. We'd sit in the rain. And the preacher would preach. We didn't have much to eat physically, but we sure did cram it in, amen, spiritually. I remember a song we used to sing. It's wild. Oh, it's, what is it? Oh, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. Oh, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Sing it. Oh, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. Oh, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, the devil doesn't like it, but it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. Oh, the devil doesn't like it, but it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. Oh, the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, hallelujah. And we were thrilled. I learned pretty quick in this battle that most of us were not overstrained. We were undermotivated. Somebody made a study. Somebody's always making studies and surveys. You know, I remember when Mary and I started with the gypsies in Europe, and everybody said, "Greenaway, you're crazy." And of course I said the devil already told me that. But why fool with the gypsies? Well, because they needed God, and because there was a revival ensuing among them, and it did happen. But we saw that thing come from a few hundred gypsies to about 30,000. And then I came home one time on furlough, and somebody called me and said, "Hey, we're writing a book." I said, "On what?" They said, "On the gypsies. We're gonna tell what happened." I said, "Were you there?" They said, "No, but we heard about it. So we're gonna write a book about it." I thought, dear God, why am I so stupid? Why can't I write a book? I said, "Listen, buddy, I know what happened to the gypsies. I know that God walked in, hallelujah, opened up the windows of heaven upon them, poured out his blessing upon them. Amen. And they stood up with swords. They all bought a sword and they all did battle. Buddy, if you think you witness, you ought to get around the gypsies. Dear God, they'll make you look like peanuts in a boxcar. They are witnesses." They buy a sword. They understand that the earth, we're living here, this earth is our arena, but our paradise awaits. Hallelujah. As long as you're here, you're going to fight battles. Amen. You're going to fight them. So don't think it's strange if fiery trials beset you. When I get out the other morning in 2 inches of water, I said, dear God, I thought this, I was over this. But you're not. You're not over until the trumpet sounds. You know what makes us tick? Pentecostal power makes us tick. Amen. You know what makes us fighters? Pentecostal power. The Great Commission is our authority, but Mr. the power of Pentecost is our strength. It's our victory. And Pentecost is our power. It is our emotion. Not just going to church. Going to church doesn't give you power. Arguing about standards don't give you power. Wondering what happened to the fallen angels don't give you power. I am amazed at some of the things people ask. As though that counted. Dear God, if you gave them a sword, they wouldn't want any of it to use. But they're worried about the fallen angels. Whether the church is going through the tribulation. Who cares? Who cares? We used to have a barber that used to say, get ready for the worst and brace your feet and take what comes. We're going to make it because we belong to the only thing that's going to make it, His church. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You want Pentecostal power. Everybody today says, oh, we want power. I've told you before how many of our churches sit around every Tuesday morning and salt one another. Say, we're the salt of the earth. Oh, hallelujah. Now salt me. Oh, I love that. Now let me salt you. Oh, let's do this every Tuesday morning. Isn't this good? A happy bunch of warriors you are. Dear God, a sword would scare you to death. Because you're so used to sitting around salting one another. Salt is to be used for something that needs salted. God's not running a pickle factory. Half of us are salty enough. Half of us will last forever. We're salted down. Go to church on Sunday morning. Get salted so we can get through till Sunday night. Go to church Sunday night, get salted so we can get through Wednesday night. What kind of warriors are we? Have we bought a sword? Amen. Are we standing up to the powers of darkness? I want to tell you something, mister. You want Pentecostal power. You take on the Pentecostal task. And you got Pentecostal power. Amen. Place yourself in a position where you need power and you got it. They were going forth to contest Roman power. And God knows if ever there's a day when we need our swords to contest the powers around us. The spirit around us, the normalism, the left field of teaching, a world acting like they have religion and are powerless, listening to voices, soap operas. Oh, I love them. Edge of Night, Dark of Day, or whatever. Oh, we go to the store, push the cart along. What are we doing? We're listening to voices. You know why you drive the car you drive? Because one day you listen to a voice. Dear God, I get the impression that there's not a sane advertisement in Baton Rouge on the TV. Have you ever watched that boy on Toyota? They're all crazy. Have you ever watched that boy on New Generation? They're all crazy. I wonder what kind of people there are that they're trying to... God, it's activity that would be out of place in a nut house. And yet... Hallelujah. And yet, a third of the people in this city are driving Toyotas because that knucklehead told them. He screamed at them. They listened to his voice. Take this, go to the supermarket. What are you doing? The voices again. Snap, crackle, and pop. No cavities. What are you doing? You're listening to the voices. Listening to voices. But Mister... If you're a fighter tonight, if you bought your sword, you're listening. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Hear ye Him. Get alone with Him. Hear His voice for yourself. It's not enough for us to go to church and cheer the general. That's not enough for us to go to church and cheer the platform on. You have got to touch God, hear God for yourself, know God for yourself. Amen. He is the reality. You need to know Him. Oh, hallelujah. We don't come here merely to be sung to and preached to. We come here to know Him for ourselves. Amen. To know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings. Amen. To take our swords as individuals and fight. And I'm going to tell you, we listen to those voices all day long. Why can't we listen to His voice for a few moments? How do you think we're going to contest the powers that we're facing? With little prayers, little doing, waving little banners. Clapping our hands? No way, man. You buy a sword. You buy a sword. I remember hearing a story many years ago about the little boy that saw this big man, and he said, "Man, if I was big like you, if I had arms like you, man, if I had a chest like yours, he said, I would go out into the forest and I'd find the biggest bear I could find. He said, I'd kill him if I was big as you." That big old boy said, "Son, there's a lot of little bears in that world." If you can't kill a big one, get a hold of a little one. But kill something. Do something. Use your sword. Act like you're in business. Dear God, my daddy died by the time I was 8 years old. But I still remember what he taught us. He said, "Boys, always look like you're in business." Well, he told us a lot of things. In the years when he used to ride down a town on a rail if they didn't like you. He said, "If you're on a rail, get down low. It looks like you're on their shoulders." And he said, "If they're really running you out of town, get to the head of the crowd and make it look like a parade. But down, back down." Take the strength that God has given you and use it. Amen. But those disciples had unseen strength. And we need strength. Not just little imps of power. Power. Now, that's not the kind of power you need. I saw two hippies years ago in London. And they were having a parade, just two of them. Did it ever dawn on you that two people can have a parade? Dear God, I can have a parade by myself. And they had a few sheets of toilet paper on a stick. And on each piece of toilet paper was love, love, love. I said, dear God, if that's love, 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 I'm Chinese. Love is not a word on a piece of toilet paper. Love is not even a word. Love is an action. Amen? Love is doing something. Hallelujah. Helping somebody. Lifting somebody up. Oh, hallelujah. That is love. I remember one time many years ago, about 1945, we were going from Ouagadougou to... Are you with me? Let me see your hands. Wiggle them a little. I can't tell from your faces. But Mary and I were going from Ouagadougou to Tenkudugu. And you know, I hope all of you were reading the paper to see where that plane crashed over there in Bamako, in the capital of Mali, which used to be the Sudan. But if you'll notice, it went down not too far from Timbuktu. And when you say Timbuktu, people say, ha, ha, ha. That's a... Timbuktu's there. It's the old oasis on the southern end of the caravan trail across the desert. But we were going from Ouagadougou to Tenkudugu. And it was in a store. I mean sandstorms. It was a harmattan. And the sand comes off of that desert, buddy. You're living right almost on the sub-Sahara there. And that sand comes off of those deserts. It'll blot out the sun. It'll blot out the moon. And we had with us a young French woman and her newborn baby that we were trying to get from Ouagadougou down to Tenkudugu. And that storm hit us, and I had a flat tire, and it was a 1942 Chevrolet, and the only jack I had was one of those screw up things, you know, that's always stripped. And I knew that we couldn't stay in that storm, and we had our boy with us, African boy. And we tried to get that jack to work, and it wouldn't. So finally, I unscrewed the jack. In those years, I was strong. I thank God, bless the Irish. I thank God he got a hold of me when I had something to offer him. Amen? Besides baldness, bifocals, bridges, and bulges, I had strength to give him. And I gave it to him. So I got that jack up. And I told this boy, I said, when I'm going to lift that car, he said, you're what? Yum Katwin. Yum Katwin. He said, there's no way you can do it. I said, watch me. I said, when I lift that rear end up, I said, you get that jack. You put it. I showed him exactly what to do with it. I laid the spare tire down along that. The fender and that flat tire, and I got up on that and I began to lift. I lifted until I thought my eyeballs were gone. I lifted. I said, God, help me. We got to get out of here. But I lifted that thing and he put the jack on it. We changed that tire and went on our way. When you need strength, he will give you strength. Amen. If you walk with him, amen, he will give you strength. Oh, hallelujah. And the next morning, I was in our little bathroom there
in the little old mud house. It had 8 sides. It was a mess. But anyway, somebody thought that was a perfect house for missionaries, and it was. If you want to die, big chunks of mud would drop out in the rainy season. Plop! Move the bed. Right over here. Watch it, kid. Oh, yeah! Buddy, in those days, if you didn't have your sword, you didn't have anything. Amen? And I heard this cook going by that had been with me, lifted, that put that jack under that wheel. And he was telling the boys around there, he said, I'm going to tell you something. I saw it last night. I saw it. He said, the pastor lifted that whole car. There's nothing like having good PR out there. And I heard one of the other boys said, "Whoo!" He said, when his mother borned him, she borned a man. And, hey, hallelujah, we're going to have a time in Singapore. You wait and see. These men were unconquerable. When you buy your sword, there's something about holding the sword that you feel unconquerable. And in Christ Jesus, you are unconquerable. Amen. You people out there that are selling yourself short, in the name of God, quit selling yourself short and remember that you are unconquerable in Christ Jesus as long as you bought your sword. Amen. As long as you realize the Great Commission is all of our authority, but Pentecost is our power. Oh, hallelujah. The power of Pentecost. It makes us tick. When their power got low, those disciples went back where they got it in the first place and loaded up again. I got news for you tonight. If you feel like you're running a little low on power, you can get power where you got it the first time, at an altar. Amen? You can come to this altar tonight and get more of what you start. And remember that our God is inexhaustible. I remember a friend of mine. Maybe I've told you this before, but I'll tell it again because I like to hear it again. But I remember Dr. Claude Wood, dead now, great preacher, preaching in San Francisco at Old Glad Tidings. And one day in the afternoon, he decided he'd take a ride on the freeway. He's crazy. Nobody goes for a little ride in the afternoon on those San Francisco freeways. But he said he went on his way, and he ran out of gas between exits. And so he's standing out on the side of the road trying to flag down the traffic. And he said, first car come by, I waved. He said, second car, I waved both hands. Third car, he said, I waved and raised them. He said, I loosened my tie, ruffled up my hair. The next car went by, twice as fast. He said, it was getting church time. Got to get back to the church. He said, I opened up the hood. I opened up the trunk. I took the seats out, laid them down. Make him think I had somebody hurt. Cars going by. When he said, I got on my knees. I said, God, I'm desperate. I'm desperate. Please send somebody along with 4 quarts of gas, 1 gallon. It'll get me back. He said, when I prayed, I heard screeching. And I looked up, and there was a tank truck. And that big old driver said, "Got trouble, Mac." Oh, he said, "Greenaway," I said, "hey, have you just got 1 gallon you could give me?" He said, "Mac, 1 gallon. Whew. He said, "I got 5,000 back there." Whew. 1 gallon. "Man," he said, "you got something, put it in." He said, "I had a can, and that guy got down, and he opened that valve." He said, "Watch it, man. Whoo, 5,000 gallons. He said, "I filled up that car. Every time you open that valve, it almost knocked me over. But," he said, "I filled it up. But I went back to San Francisco knowing that my Father, amen, has unlimited resources." Oh, hallelujah. He has unlimited power. Oh, he is King of kings, Lord of lords, holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Oh, hallelujah. Our God is able. Our God is able. I forgot to look at the clock. Thank God. But they built bridges, those disciples, with their power and their swords. They built power, they built bridges of compassion over which a lost world walked. To contest the power of darkness tonight, you must have confession before communion. There must be repentance before forgiveness. This power that we have is not the cell soap. God didn't call me to be a spiritual Avon lady. Sister, Avon calling. No. Dear God, if God's called you, why dribble down, as someone said, why dribble down to be a king? But the power he gave us is to do battle. Amen? And mister, any of you tonight that's not ready to do battle, I question the future of your religious experience. Amen? Dear God, I look forward to the day when we'll be in that church. And I think if there's one man that deserves that church, he's sitting on this platform tonight, our pastor, Jim Rentsch, he deserves that church. Amen. Hallelujah. And I hope. Well, anyway, I better not say that. God didn't tell us to go out and buy a lawnmower and attack the lawn. But that's what some people are doing. You buy a sword for battle. God doesn't want us engaged in religious castle building. He wants us to know who we are. Amen. Who we are. I remember a pastor friend of mine was telling me the other day, he said, "I had a little trouble." He said, "This church has always had a little trouble. But when I came," he said, "I did a very simple thing." I said, "What did you do?" He said, "I laid the ground rules." He said, "I called the board together and called the meeting to order. And he said to the board, 'Who am I?' They said, 'Who are you?' You're the pastor." He said, "Write that down." He said, "Who are you?" And they told him. He said, "That's fine. Let's keep it that way." He never had any trouble. You can't do one battle and say, "It's all over now. I've had my fight. Ho, ho, ho. I'm baptized the Holy Spirit. I've spoken with tongues. It's all over." Now it's battle after battle, mountain after mountain. Dear God, I think of our life from Pittsburgh to Boston, from Boston to Maine, from Maine to Alabama, from Alabama to Connecticut, Ouagadougou to, from Connecticut to Ouagadougou, from Ouagadougou to Tenkudugu, from Tenkudugu to Tongata, from Tongata to Natitingu, from Natitingu to Tambacounda, dear God, and from Tambacounda to Orleans, and from Orleans to Paris, from Paris to Brussels, Brussels to Springfield, Springfield to Baton Rouge. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. And I can't even now say, God, is it all over? I'm still under orders. Amen, and you are still under orders. I don't know how I wound up here, but I'm going to stay. We need every ounce of spiritual stamina that we can pull out of ourselves tonight. And in the end, it is not the attenders that will win. It will be the participants. Amen. Have you participated lately? Amen. What have you done for this church? Oh, but you say, I come. Well, that's good. That's a starter. I fill a seat. When they count me. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I pay a little tithe. That's good. But that's not all there is to it. Amen. You got to participate every day. It's like the old boy in Mississippi when he didn't vote for his senator. And the senator went to see him. And he said, why in the world? He said, man, he said, didn't I put you a hard road in front of your place? The old farmer said, yes, sir. He said, didn't I build you a fish pond with government money? Yes, sir. He said, didn't I give you a big chicken house? Yes, sir. Well, he said, why in the world didn't you vote for me the last time? He said, what have you done for me lately? And so God is saying to you tonight, what have you done for me lately? See, it's not dues that you pay one time. It's fight, fight, fight all the way. It's mountains to climb. It's battles to fight. Oh, hallelujah. And he will give us strength. But I'm going to tell you, the lack of spiritual conquest in your life will kill you. Amen? You got to take on new ones. I used to think the older you got, the more it would smooth out and the easier it would become. I got news for you. And especially when you step out into 2 inches of water, where water is not supposed to be. I'm going to Singapore Tuesday morning. I got to preach in 3 days, 3 2-hour sessions, 3 hour and a half sessions, and be back here by the following Monday. I used to think it was all over. But I'm going to make it because I belong to the only thing that's going to make it. Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ, hang in there. We're going to make it. Oh, hallelujah. There are better things ahead for all of us. Amen. Things are looking up. But you can't stay tied to the oak apron strings. You can't stay tied to the oak apron strings of your own desires and make it. You've got to be tied to his desires. Amen. You've got to be tied to this word. You've got to be tied to it. Amen. You get your lessons out of this word. Buy a sword. Moses broke the frontier of bondage. It cost him everything. It cost Moses everything to break through the frontier of bondage. But mister, what's wrong with it costing you everything if you win everything in return? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let it cost you as long as you win something. Joshua broke the frontier of weariness. Jonah broke the frontier of personal service, but almost lost it. The widow broke the frontier of giving. And it wasn't a tip. And it wasn't a tax deduction. A little weak, but you're coming on. It wasn't a tax deduction. I know we need it. No, I better not get into that. Buy a sword. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus broke the frontier of heaven. Amen. They kept him. They kept him 3 days. But in 3 days, he began to flex his muscles. And he began to pull at the ramparts of the powers of hell and the powers of darkness. And he pushed them aside. He was a fighter. He was a fighter. He fought back. Amen. They stomped on him. They tore him apart. But mister, when it came his turn, he fought back. And he stomped on the powers of hell and came bursting forth and said, I am now the resurrection and the life. I have fought my battles and I have won. I have suffered. I have suffered and I have won. I have won my battle. Oh, hallelujah. You can come to this altar tonight and buy a sword. And I told God one time many years ago, I said, God, give me a sword. And let me understand I have it and I'll fight till kingdom come. Amen. And I've learned as your days are, so shall your strength be. People try to get me retired. Go to Florida and play shuffleboard. God! Can you imagine the old folks' home with me in it? Oh, heaven! Heaven forbid! God, I've told God when it can't crawl anymore, let me die. And I mean that. And if you hear I'm gone, don't worry about it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Amen. Mary gets upset with me because I'm going to have my own funeral. She said, Charles, you can't do that to me. I said, look, baby, you have your funeral. I'll have mine. At my funeral, there's not going to be any ushers. I mean, well, no. You're not going to get into my funeral unless you have a missionary offering. Amen? Don't mess up my funeral. The ushers are told you meet you at the door. I'm not kidding you. The ushers will meet you at the door and they will ask you, do you have a missionary offering? If you don't, you stay outside, buddy, until they roll me across the road. At the Alabama camp, the council this past year, they said, Greenaway, why don't you come down? We'll have a dry run. I've got everybody excited about it. Don't miss it. Load up your better years, people, and come on! They go everywhere else. They said, we'll put you in a casket like this with a handful of faith promises. Take one. I'm going to tell you something. When I hang up my sword within the ramparts of heaven, when I hang up my sword on those shimmering walls, forgive me. Will you stand? Will you come down here tonight, all of you? I don't want anybody left in a seat. Come on down. and by a sword. Will you come? I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach.